This is a compliment, or perhaps a backhanded compliment, or maybe an analysis, or something like that. A very special character, a changed character, a change for the worse. In the history of the United States of America, the way U.S. citizens have found it, this is Donald Trump, a racist. This is Donald Trump, a fascist. This is Donald Trump, a two-faced man. Mr. Nominee and no one else.
Esta gente ha decidido elegir a la peor persona que se haya podido elegir. Básicamente nos están poniendo en la cara esos ideales, sin importarles todo lo que contribuimos para este país.
It's hard to notice, but the American dream has died, away from prying eyes. Today, a newcomer has stepped on the political scene, a neocon populist from the right.
You know, if we win New York, it's over, right?
Over the past decade, in citizens' assemblies interested in the constitutional values, urban development was a high priority. But today, civil rights have been brushed aside. Today, civil rights are eyed suspiciously in a polarized society. You are either with me or against me. This is where Donald Trump enters to lay the foundations of a social platform on hatred, social unrest, and discrimination. If you are a migrant, if you are a Muslim, if you are an African American, then you are the root cause of all problems in the country.
I think he's feeding on a lot of anger in this country. And people don't know where to direct it, and he's giving them an out. And that out, whether it's constitutional or not, people kind of feel that they belong to that anger. And so I think what we have to do as people who believe in justice and equality is we have to show that there is a way to connect to the people who have been feeling left out of the system without just kicking everybody out, you know? It's not a country of white people. It's not a country of Western Europeans. It's a country of black, white, Latino, Arab, Indian, every single part. This is a melting pot. This is the place.
What do we do when our families are under attack?
Stand up, fight back!
What do we do when our families are under attack?
Stand up, fight back!
History has many lessons to teach, but few learn their lessons. History repeats itself, and human beings repeat each other. At this point in time, again, the finger of suspicion immediately falls on the other with a different religion, with a different color, with a different belief, with a different source of income. Therefore, the other is the enemy.
It's about time. We need strength, we need toughness.
According to Donald Trump, the enemy is essentially a person from abroad, with a different color, tradition, or religion, with a different appearance, The enemy is a person who doesn't resemble him. A person with no blonde hair or blue eyes.
We are going to fix the system so it works.
The question is, how about Donald Trump's own colors?
De la misma gente que está ahora en campaña, él la acusa, pero está utilizando el sentimiento antiestablecimiento que hay dentro de la población en general.
This journalist and international analyst is following this phenomenon closely. For him, Donald Trump is the bitter fruit of both oppression and consumerism. For him, Donald Trump is an opportunist candidate.
Yo sospecho que inicialmente él se lanzó de candidato no porque tenga una pasión por la política, sino como una oportunidad para vender su imagen, vender libros y promocionar su programa de televisión. Es un candidato accidental que, debido al ambiente que vive en los Estados Unidos ahora, anti-inmigrante, anti-musulmán, anti todo lo que sea internacional, lo ha sabido aprovechar, sea consciente o inconscientemente, ha llegado a donde está, pero eventualmente él siempre busca satisfacer primero su bolsillo, segundo su bolsillo y tercero si le queda un poquito más para él.
Born in a bourgeois family that made a mint dishonestly, the child Trump, the teen Trump, the young Trump, and the old Trump thinks like capitalists. His father left him a small fortune, as well as the Trump Organization, to start his business. After a series of dismal failures, including a number of divorces and bankruptcies, this rich New Yorker finally rose to TV stardom. The youth of the nation were intoxicated with his reality show, particularly those who were still chasing the American dream. But Trump had a little skeleton somewhere in the closet. He had sexually harassed a number of female competitors and abused those who were not the best candidates for his business. Some analysts believe that Trump's neo-populism is not by accident. On the contrary, it is the outcome of a few decades of collective paranoia with the aim of creating a hypothetical enemy. Trump's favorite character is the hypothetical antagonist in U.S. foreign policy.
Viene como resultado de muchos años de políticas neoliberales, pólizas neoliberales, militarismo, filosofías de castigo para lidiar con las consecuencias de la pobreza en este país. Y una persona que está tomando ventaja del resentimiento que han creado esas pólizas, que ha creado esa injusticia económica, esa injusticia social.
In fact, Trump is the monster of his age, or a puppet pulled by Wall Street and multinational corporations, arms dealers, and the like. Trump is undoubtedly a candidate of his time. A detailed analysis of this candidate's debates paints a bleak picture of the future for the United States of America, its economy, foreign policy, and citizens.
Estamos entrando a un terreno completamente desconocido porque el temperamento que ha demostrado tener Donald Trump para manejar situaciones incómodas es preocupante, muy preocupante. Los retos son grandes y tal vez él no vaya a dar la talla.
In 2015, Donald Trump argued that illegal immigrants were the main reason behind the high rates of crime in the country, adding that illegal migrants, in particular those from Mexico, would bring drugs and crime with them.
Nos ha llamado violadores, nos ha llamado narcotraficantes, nos ha llamado lo más que pueda llamarnos. Todo negativo contra nosotros. Nosotros somos gente trabajadora, somos gente de familia, somos gente de fe. nosotros solo queremos venir a Estados Unidos a trabajar. No cogemos los trabajos de los demás no quieren esos trabajos porque son trabajos que muchas veces no pagan casi nada. Mi padre trabajó toda su vida aquí en Estados Unidos, yo soy 5 generaciones de estar aquí en Estados Unidos. Yo no soy narcotraficante, yo no soy violadora, mi familia no es violadora ni narcotraficante. Donald Trump es peligrosísimo para este país. Yo tengo mucho miedo que él llegue a ser el presidente, porque ¿dónde vamos a estar nosotros con un presidente tan racista como él? Me da miedo.
Islamophobia constitutes another part of Trump's ideology. According to Trump, the U.S. is at war with Muslims, though they're not in uniform. This doctrine is not new for this Muslim student who has seen antagonism toward herself over and over again on the streets of her hometown.
I feel like he makes people think that if you don't stand with me and if you don't believe these negative things that I believe, then these scary, monstrous Muslims are going to attack you too and they're going to hurt you. And, you know, usually people kind of like worry when it comes to fear, then they start believing stuff. But they don't realize that Muslims actually don't want to hurt anyone. They just want to live their regular lives like anybody else.
Regardless of what Trump says, Muslims are part of U.S. society and active members of the public and political arenas. Wilfredo M. Ruiz is a political analyst. He is originally from Puerto Rico, who converted to Islam when he was young. As he finished his college with honors, he joined the Maritime Law Association of the United States to serve his country, what Donald Trump never did.
Contribuimos al bienestar y a la estabilidad y a la seguridad de esta nación. Tenemos una sociedad musulmana, una comunidad musulmana muy integrada en todos los aspectos. Hay miles sirviendo las Fuerzas Armadas, miles sirviendo como en las agencias del orden público, decenas y decenas sirviendo como políticos electos en la esfera local, estatal o federal. Más del 20% de los doctores que cuidan la salud de esta nación son musulmanes. Otro porciento significativo de musulmanes sirven en la academia, ya sea en la educación, en los niveles graduados, como subgraduados, como preescolar, hasta escolares. Y esas contribuciones que a diario hacen los musulmanes a esta nación, que prueban que los musulmanes en realidad, eso es lo que precisamente prefieren estos discursos xenófobos, proyectar, que eso no está pasando, que no es una realidad, y divorcian a los musulmanes de lo que en realidad está pasando en el terreno.
Trump would rather continue his argument under the delusion of a war on terrorism without thinking about what methods he'd have to adopt. In his hypothetical presidency, international law makes no sense. Though Trump has not spent a single day in the U.S. Army, to this presidential candidate, when it comes to the war on terrorism, tortures like waterboarding are necessary, but not enough. He believes that instruments of torture have to be more effective. The direct consequence will be an exponential growth in the military industry. Trump has pointed out that to prop up U.S. military forces, he would give it his best shot. He wants to have the military so strong that no one dares to confront it.
But American Muslims will be very concerned about their safety, about their protection, about their prosperity. Are they going to be second-class citizens? Is Donald Trump going to prevent Muslims from coming? Is he going to force American Muslims to wear a badge? Is he going to shut down mosques as he threatened?
Therefore, U.S. citizens will wake up to the fact that they are being governed by a police state that secretly supervises their activities. Under such circumstances, there would be no place for free thinking, since the citizen's lifestyle is under constant surveillance. That was the Bush Doctrine, and Donald Trump just follows suit. those who think independently or differently would no longer be a Lamod.
Get some type of handout. You're a sheep.
This veteran is going to set up the U.S. flag in a public park. The police rush to the scene and a group of people gather around to grab the flag from him. The veteran has come here to put the flag upside down. In the military, it is interpreted as an SOS, an urgent message for help. He thinks that his country is sinking, or at least all the promises the Constitution has given the citizens are sinking. The veteran says that after turbulence, it's time for analysis. And the result will be paranoia. What Trump and the Republicans want people to believe it. To believe that there is always something there threatening society.
There's so many people that aren't here because of all the fear-mongering that they've created on TV. And that's why there's a lot less people here than want to be. There's millions of people that would be here if it wasn't for all this hype and all this fear. And, you know, people are thinking that they're going to get shot by black people, and they're thinking they're going to get shot by white supremacists, and people are thinking the cops are going to round everybody up, and all these things have potential, I guess, but it's just fear-based. It's the way this country's been, it's the way this country is created, right? Out of fear.
Other citizens who are watching the scene agree, perhaps without knowing it, that something has changed in the United States. Society, politics, economy. It's no longer like 10 years ago. Yesterday, the Americans could harness their federal institutions, and demonstrations were a kind of public pressure for change. Today, they cannot even ask about the events.
But they get very excited because it's a symbol, you know, and they know that their freedom's being taken away. So for them, the flag is the last vestige of freedom for them, because there's no other freedom, right? So the last vestige of freedom they have is the flag. Once you take that illusion away,
of course he is.
I mean, our whole government is. Our whole society is. Terrorism is fear. I mean, they're instilling fear. Fear of the Muslims. Fear of the immigrants.
Statistics show that for only 242 million adults living in the U.S., there are about 265 million guns. That comes out to be more than one gun for every adult. The U.S. accounts for 5% of the world's population, but has about 35 to 50% of the world's civilian-owned guns. And while the country is suffering from the worst mass shootings in modern history, the weapons owned by the citizens are the common denominator. That's why Trump believes that citizens should own arms. Some political analysts believe that Donald Trump is the grandchild of capitalism that has been predominant in the U.S. for decades. Donald Trump and his ilk have filled their coffers, exploiting the working class for years. In fact, the U.S. would not have been the same way as it is now without its Wall Street wolves. Donald Trump, with his golden hair, has become the symbol of capitalistic values.
En el que estamos viendo un efecto boomerang de las políticas de Occidente, las políticas económicas, las políticas militaristas, intervencionistas, los cambios de régimen, etcétera, que realmente lo que han hecho es fortalecer la economía global para unas cuantas élites que se benefician económicamente a través de la opresión de las masas, a través de la explotación de la labor, de la explotación de los recursos naturales. Entonces, tanto el Partido Republicano como el Partido Demócrata han sido campeones de todas esas pólizas. Ellos son los que han realmente causado esta situación. Entonces, no solamente lo vemos con Donald Trump, sino que lo vemos en el ámbito político entero de los Estados Unidos y también en el ámbito político mundial.
Our children deserve a better future than what we're making them live through today.
The fact is that Trump's financial system will be tailor-made for big corporations, for those who are helping him make his way to the White House. It seems that Trump is going to use the U.S. federal budget like his own savings account in every section he likes, annulling all contracts and deals signed in the Obama administration.
Y realmente sí es, digamos, un candidato peligroso porque en vez de proponer pólizas de recuperamiento económico, cambiar, digamos, la postura de los Estados Unidos de ser tan beligerante en su relación con otras naciones del mundo, a ser más solidario, tratar de trabajar en equipo y resolver, por ejemplo, problemas como el cambio climático, los problemas de la guerra, los problemas de la salud o la falta de salud a nivel mundial, el hambre a nivel mundial. No es un candidato realmente que a mí personalmente inspira ningún tipo de esperanza.
In this regard, Trump says that during his presidency, budget cuts would be unprecedented, particularly in the education system. He has promised to slash it strikingly. The situation will be the same in the health system. Big pharmaceutical companies will return to the arena, and the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, will be history. Everyone should pay for their treatment or die.
We need everything. We need everything.
And when it comes to foreign policy, Trump's insanity knows no boundaries. This hotelier has become the self-proclaimed champion of border security. The U.S. will lock horns with the rest of the world. That's why the Israeli regime, one of the senior partners of the Republicans, will be the greatest ally of the U.S. new political government after Trump takes the oath of office. The 2016 U.S. presidential campaigns. What's at stake is not the White House, but a nation's values that many have lost their lives for. In the background, Nero, Caligula, corruption in Rome and Babylon, an oppression that shrouds the whole society. In the foreground, Donald Trump, who appears out of chaos, a man who aims to isolate the U.S. from the rest of the world. That's what political analysts agree on.
La actitud de Donald Trump es completamente aislante, es hacer de los Estados Unidos una isla enorme y casi arrogante al decir que le va a dedicar una parte enorme al presupuesto de la defensa del país. En lugar de buscar soluciones diplomáticas, está buscando más bien soluciones militares. No es lo mismo estar de candidato y tratando de conseguir una audiencia que escucha ese tipo de retórica a tratar con líderes de categoría internacional. Es una retórica bastante cargada que está dirigida a su audiencia, espero. Yo sospecho que una vez él esté en la oficina Oval, si es que llega a pisar la Casa Blanca, la gente que lo rodee, la gente que conozca de diplomacia y de relaciones internacionales, logre, aun cuando va a ser un reto enorme, hacerlo razonar y hacerlo pensar y hacerle ver las consecuencias de sus acciones y cómo debe manejar situaciones difíciles dentro del panorama internacional.
What's obvious from now is that after the presidential election, the United States will not be the same country. It has more to do with ideological massacre of the past and the future. The massacre of innocent people far from home, far from American society. The victims will be in Mexico and Latin America, in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. The victims will be thousands of unknown individuals in Palestine and Africa. No trial will be held. Donald Trump, just the last link in this chain.
The country is angry, and I think that's one of the reasons I'm doing so well, because we have people that are incompetent running our country.